life has changed.
We want to be there for you.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are unscripted, uncouth, and still very mature. Now, Bailey.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Miss Holly O'Connor.
Oh, hi.
Mr. Scotty the Bodden.
Hey.
We have a special guest coming on today to help us talk through some mental health stuff, because every day I feel like right now is a different journey.
It is. As a matter of fact, I just put on my Facebook yesterday a post that some guy had done on Twitter, and I had so many people say, oh my gosh, thank you. This Dan Sheehan on Twitter said, the quarantine state of mind is having three solid days where you feel pretty well adjusted, followed by a sudden, unexpected dip into what we call the hell zone. Mm. The hell zone is an anxious, semi-agitated state where you're just sort of off for the whole day and time flows like you're wading through chili, and your hell zone never syncs up with any other people's hell zones, and they'll always make you feel weird and stressed out.
Yeah, I agree.
I also yesterday had two friends directly reach out to me and say, I've held off for 6 weeks, but I'm day drinking today.
Oh.
Like, they don't know each other. Like, someone here that I am friends with, she's like, whatever, I'm getting in the pool, I'm having a drink at noon. And another mom friend of mine who was like, homeschooling has driven me to drink today.
I mean, I feel it. I mean, there are times that I get home from work here and it's usually like around 1 or 2 and I am like eyeing the Corona seltzers or a vodka drink. Mm. And I'm like, no, hold off. Because it's like today I feel fine. Like, I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning.
I heard you leave. I was like, are you serious?
I don't, like, that's what's so crazy. And I can't wait to talk to Dr. Upshaw about, because like literally this morning I like bounced out of bed at 3. I was in the shower. I was listening to my podcast. I got here to the station like way earlier than I normally do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've noticed today I've just been like super productive. I'm just like, boom, 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 boom. What else? What else? What else? What else?
Yeah.
But like Monday and Tuesday, I was like, it was a struggle just to like get through the show. Like, I was just, like, 5 steps behind the entire time.
See, those were your hell days.
Yeah, but it's like you can't even navigate it, you know? And, like, that's what's just so crazy about now, is because I feel like I should be fine, and I tell myself I'm fine, but then, like, the inside of my body is like, I just want to sit.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything else. I'm done.
We got to see if that's normal.
It's so interesting to me. So, Holly, set up who Dr. Upshaw is if you are new to the Corncast and you weren't here when we had him on last week.
Okay, so Dr. Upshaw is a psychiatrist here in Tampa Bay, and he has a business that's called NeuroSpa TMS. Now, full disclosure, I endorse NeuroSpa TMS because when they came to me about wanting to work with them and endorse their product and their service and, you know, use it, I looked into it and I was like, absolutely. So I don't want to say hi and I'm going to be talking.
You're talking behind his back.
Hello?
Dr. Upshaw.
Hello, Dr. Upshaw.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's hi. Miguel and Holly.
Hey, guys.
Now, Holly was just giving sort of your intro.
Yeah, I was just doing some background. So basically, I said that we met because before this whole pandemic started, you have a service that I'm interested in. And I've been sort of a champion of mental health over the past year anyway. And I myself struggle with depression and anxiety. And the service that is offered at NeuroSpa TMS is it's a non-drug treatment that has been approved by the FDA, that's covered by major insurance, that helps depression. And so that's how we met, just to give you a little, you know, background for our listeners.
Right, right.
Now, Dr. Upshaw, what have you been seeing from your patients coming in and just like how the general mood is of people? Because I feel like we here at the radio station, we get to talk to a lot of different people through social media platforms, but a lot of people that are listening have been shut in for a month or two. And so they don't know what the pulse is. Are they the only ones that are feeling kind of crazy? Or are they the only ones that are actually feeling relieved that they don't have any sort of engagements that they have to go through? What's been the general feel that you're getting from your clients?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting topic because it really changes from week to week. And I'll tell you, the past couple of weeks have been kind of concerning that, you know, more and more people are starting to feel the effects of this, but in kind of a nebulous way. Like, they can't put their finger on it, and they don't necessarily, like, you know, I see people, I'm doing telehealth sessions with people, and I have a small private practice where I still see people with medications. And then also I see the people in the TMS clinics on a daily basis. And people are just telling me that they can't really put their finger on it. They're not telling me, hey, you know, because I've been shut in, because I'm not seeing my friends, I can tell I'm doing worse. They're like, I'm doing worse and I don't know why, you know, and is this normal? Mm. And, you know, as a psychiatrist, you know, mental health problems kind of fall into certain patterns that we see. And this is just such a new situation that we're dealing with that, you know, it's hard to say what's going to happen. And I'll tell you guys, the first few weeks of this, I was really surprised about how well everyone was doing.
Mm.
You know, people seem to be kind of, you know, in good spirits. They're saying, yes, you know, we're going to get through this. You know, I'm doing okay. Hey, this is kind of fun. I'm working from home. You know, I get to see my family more. But there's something about this that's really starting to affect people, I think. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
That's what we were just talking about. Before we got you on the phone, Miguel was saying that, you know, today has been a great day for him. So he bounced out of bed, was like up and at him early even. But Monday and Tuesday were not that way. Monday and Tuesday were rough. And I mean, I even have like a, you know, a Twitter meme that I posted on my Facebook about how it's like, that's how it sort of is for everyone. Like, everyone has a good couple of days and they're like, oh, what was I worried about? And then out of nowhere, seemingly, you'll have a really rough day or two. And then it kind of swings back the other way. What is this pendulum that we're dealing with?
Well, I think to me, there's two things going on. The first one is that everyone has things that they do to regulate their mood on a daily basis. And they're probably not even aware of it. But, you know, people know, hey, if I do these certain things, I tend to do better, you know, hitting the gym or eating certain things or hanging out with certain people. And we're all out of our routine. And there's certain things that we used to do to really make it so that we could get through certain things. And that's off the table now. So I think that's a big part of it. The other thing is that we're all kind of going through a collective trauma right now. And there's tons of research about how people handle trauma. But we are all kind of walking around, and in the back of our minds, we don't know when things are going to return back to normal. We don't know if we could potentially get this virus, any of us, really. I mean, we still don't understand everything about how it's transmitted. What are the risk factors? We know a lot. But unless you've locked yourself in your house, you know, there's a chance that you could come across it. And so that's kind of in the back of our minds, too. So I think those two things are really contributing to people kind of being all over the place in terms of, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
I'm really glad that you said that, because I think in one of the, when we decided back when this all started in late March, we decided to take our podcast, which we typically do weekly, we were going to take it daily so that we could be there for the community. And I think on one of the very first Quarancast podcasts, I said that we are all, not we're all like for certain, but it seems like there's going to be a lot of PTSD after this whole event because it's traumatic for people and they don't realize it yet. And I said that, and I had a couple of people message me. They're like, we're not traumatized. And I was like, maybe I spoke out of turn. I'm really thankful that you said that, because it kind of validated what I've been thinking and what I've been feeling from people who are just trying to do the best they can to get through this. And they have no idea that we're going to be feeling the effects of this long after it's over.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, one aspect of trauma is that it's something that happens that you really can't even fully process, like on a conscious level, right?
Right.
There's no words or thoughts that you can attach to it. It's just like almost like a nebulous feeling. And people can process that in different ways. And some people can do it by denial. And, you know, others, it's just, you know, something that has to kind of come to them over time after talking to people. And I think that you know, you guys doing a podcast more frequently is helpful. There's a couple podcasts that I listen to too, that, like, you know, having that little anchor that you can check in with every day, that's important. And so I think that that's a huge service that you guys are providing.
How do you get over those feelings of just complete blahness? Just sort of, I always, with my therapy that I've had in the past with my life coach, I can sort of sometimes physically describe how I'm feeling. And I just feel like the past 2 days, like today, I'm like, great. Like, I just feel open. I'm receiving the energy. And I'm like, where's the day gonna take me?
Not only that, you seem very creative today.
Yes. Like, today I've just been like, ooh, I got this idea. I got this idea. But then, like, the past 2 days before that, I just felt like it was enough for me just to walk in here, do this show. And after that, I had nothing else to give. And I've always been a person that has, like, a really strong work ethic. Like, I've always said, no one can outwork me. You can be smarter than me. You can be funnier than me, more good looking than I am, better looking, but you can't outwork me. But the past 2 days, by the time I leave here, I'm like, I cannot expend another ounce of energy on trying to create something or trying to even just do social media, like just trying to find the funny in the day. Is there anything that you can do to sort of get through that, or you just got to sort of get through it day by day?
Well, I mean, I think that everyone's mood, everyone's kind of, if you want to think about psychologically, you know, the brain, the psyche, everyone has kind of a certain range of experiences that they go through, and it's actually more fixed than you think. And so when you go to therapy, what you're trying to do is kind of open up the possibility to experiencing or thinking about things in different ways. That's one of the cool things about therapy. And so what you have to do is just kind of observe yourself and see if you see any patterns. Was there anything that happened that led to you having a better day? Because like I said, one big thing is that we've got all new patterns that we're going through. And so you want to try to be open to the idea of finding new ways to kind of get inspired or inspire yourself or to regulate your mood or do things that are positive and start to notice things that you're doing now that might lead to a negative mood. I know for me personally, you know, I love, you know, the science behind all of this. I'm super fascinated by what's going on in the psychology and I want to get as much information as possible. But I noticed my mood was really affected when I would come home from work and watch the news for 2 hours or get on, you know, media for a couple hours. I had to put a cap on it. So if you kind of just be open to observing what is affecting your mood and trying to kind of find a new pattern or new groove to be in, I think that that's probably a really helpful piece of advice for people that are going through this right now.
Ooh, I love that. Because can you speak on it, Miguel, to how maybe you've discovered that even if you didn't know that's what you were doing?
Yeah, I think as you were just speaking, I was going through my afternoon yesterday on Tuesday as opposed to Monday and sort of days before that. I know that you know, when everything first broke, when I would go home, I would immediately turn on CNN because I used to be a huge news junkie. And then after the 2016 elections, I was like, all right, I can't hang with the news, the cable news anymore because it's all negative, negative, negative. So I had to sort of walk away from it. So a lot of times in the afternoon, if I'm not super busy in the before all this happened, I would have stuff to do, stuff going on. But now I've noticed I've fallen back into that old habit of watching the news and keeping it on to see if there's any breaking news. Or there anything that we need to cover, something that we need to be on? Do we need to be able to react and to pivot for whatever needs to happen? But yesterday when I got home, I didn't. I watched a serial killer documentary.
Oh, uplifting.
But to me, like, that was my comfort. Like, surprisingly, that's more comforting than watching the news right now. You know, I watched that, and then I took, like, a little nap. I got up. I cleaned the house, did some laundry, went to the store. I left my house for once. I hadn't been to the store in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I went to the store, and I saw other people.
Yeah.
And then I went home, cooked dinner. And so maybe it was the act of, like, not sitting in front of the television with the news in the especially, like, on they have the counter of, like, the total cases and the total death globally and in the U.S. And that, even though it doesn't feel like it's making an impression on your brain, just having that up there on the screen, I feel like now that I'm thinking about it, can have an effect on your mood and your psyche just by having on my TV for 5 hours in the afternoon, this is how many people have died in the world and in the U.S. Can that affect your mood?
Oh, absolutely. But I think the other part of that is that I think people take for granted, you know, the normal routines they had of actually getting out of the house, even if it's just to go to work or drop the kids off at school or go run an errand. You know, there's a whole science called behavioral activation that talks about, you know, if people are depressed or anxious, you get them behaviorally to change what they're doing, and that affects their mood. And so if someone's doing the right thing by staying at home, if they're not getting out of the house to take a walk or, you know, like you said, turning off the TV to clean the house or do some other positive things, you know, they could easily slip into like a worsening depression or anxiety kind of mood state just because they aren't doing the things that they're used to doing that kind of get them out of that.
That is so important. I feel like I want to take notes.
That resonates deep.
Yeah, because I was like dreading yesterday for some reason. And it's because I had, like, I know it sounds stupid, but I had a lot to do. Like, I know a lot of people don't have anything to do and they're like, I wish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but we had work. We had like a very important, you know, Microsoft Teams meeting. And then I had to go to the grocery store. And then I had to get home and like finish up school with my daughter. And then we had to, I don't remember, we had to do something else at home. Oh, and I had to do another errand for my mom. And the thought of that was just so taxing because life before gave me at least, like usually at least a couple hours in the afternoon of me time where I could just take a nap or sit quietly by myself. I have no more me time. It's either I'm at work with people or I'm at home with people and it's there's no breaks. And I'm like thinking now the reason that I was so like, was because I am not filling my cup. Mm-hmm. I have no me time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I think that that's kind of, if this is going to keep going like this, even if the economy slowly reopens, you know, we have to see how it goes. You know, we're all trying to adjust to this new normal. And, you know, this is a conversation I have all day long with my patients. And I don't really have any great advice for them yet. I'm always just like, let's give this another week or two and see where we're at.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm talking to a lot of different people and I'll keep you guys updated and we'll come up with something. But as mental health providers, you know, we're kind of, this is all new to us too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I feel like that we are in a position right now where day by day, you've got to make the best mental health decision for you. So, for instance, like Holly, you have all this going on with your family where you would normally not have a whole lot to do sometimes in the afternoon, but then making sure that you're telling yourself, well, tomorrow I'm going to be able to get another break. And I sort of like feel like just launching yourself just to like get out of this stagnation of either being a parent that's working from home, teaching their kids, cooking dinner. And I feel like if you are working from home, you're working so much more.
Absolutely. My friend Erin and I keep discussing. She's like, I feel almost guilty because I know my work is paying me, but I'm not sitting at a desk for 8 hours. I'm like, girl, she's like, she has started like on her lunch break, going for a run, listening to this podcast and like, you know, taking a break midday, not necessarily something she would have done in the office. But because at home you work so much harder, you're pushing and pushing because there's no distractions.
I really feel like Dr. Upshaw, tell me if I'm wrong, that this could be a turning point for mental health where we've been saying for years and years and years, we need to talk about mental health, not only when someone passes away from suicide, but we need to have a conversation. And I think right now, from everything I'm taking in, I feel like we've got to do a better job of checking in on ourselves.
Mm.
Because as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking of one of my friends who lost his job, who is a very social person, but he worked from home already, but he at least had work. And
right.
Now he has nothing. And his roommate that is usually at least there for fodder is out of town with his parents. And so he's just at home and he doesn't even have the escape of hanging out with us on the weekends. And so I'm thinking of literally right after we record this of calling him and saying, I think every day you need to like find something outside to do, whether it's walking around your apartment complex, going downtown, walking on Riverwalk, but just doing something mm-hmm. that gets you out of that everyday norm. So if you are like that, where you're unemployed all of a sudden and you've never been, finding that thing that you can do every day that you can look forward to that sort of just like gets you going and gets your juices flowing mentally.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. And that's something that we're all looking at. And there's actually been a lot written about that. If you look at the, you know, just general media about, you know, people worrying that there's a mental health crisis that's already kind of existing, that's going to bubble over in the next few months and really become something that we have to look at. And I think what your advice is very good. And I think subconsciously, we all have little things that we do to kind of keep us going. And a lot of those have been taken away from us. So, you know, we have to consciously be aware of what is, you know, giving us some positive juice. You know, for me, there's one of the clinics I cover that's close to a Chick-fil-A. And so I swung by to get a breakfast sandwich, kind of broke my social quarantine a little bit, went to the drive-thru, and it was awesome. And the next week, I'm like, I'm going to get that breakfast sandwich, and I'm going to enjoy it. And so I'm telling you, it's something that small, but I was looking forward to that for like a couple of days. So it's just little stuff that you're not even aware of that you do naturally, but it's all changed and all been taken away for a lot of people. So you're going to have to find new things, like watching the crime thing that you did yesterday. I mean, you enjoyed that. So it's like when you find something you enjoy, try to figure out how to get some more of that.
Real quick, before we let you go, Dr. Upshaw, I found this article this morning that I haven't had a chance to read through all the way, but I thought it was so fascinating. It was 17 totally normal things to feel right now, according to therapists. And one of the ones that resonated with me so much of what I'm feeling right now is you are, oh gosh, I should have had this ready to go.
What's a podcast?
Oh my
God. Take a second.
I can't remember what the one, but basically it was like you feel guilt about missing the sort of trivial things that you would do to unwind. Like for some reason, maybe 3 weeks ago on the podcast, I mentioned that I really missed being able to get a massage or being able to get a pedicure. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that has stuck on my heart and my brain to where I felt so much guilt about saying that because I thought about, because we're very lucky that we still get a paycheck. We still get to come into work. But there are so many people that haven't. And I thought, what idiot do you sound like saying, oh, I miss a $60 massage, when there could be someone listening who's like, well, I don't know how I'm going to eat. I don't know how I'm going to pay rent. And you're worried about your damn massage. Take your massage and shove it. Mm. But there's something with that guilt that we have sometimes. And because everyone's having so many different types of emotions that it's like, why can't I just want to stop feeling?
Right.
But is there any tips? And I know this is sort of like a off the wall question. But if you are feeling that sort of guilt about missing those sort of, I guess what we thought would be lighthearted distractions or self-soothing activities that we could do, but to not feel that guilt if you do have it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying totally makes sense, and it's wrapped up into this idea of trauma. So I used to work at the VA for a couple of years and treated a lot of people with PTSD. And what you're talking about is kind of almost a little form of like survivor's guilt, where people who are in a war or in a serious trauma, there's all different levels of trauma, right? So some people are going to die from this. Some people are going to have loved ones who die. Some people are going to lose their job. Some people may end up long-term losing their housing and have a significant trauma. But all of us are having little micro traumas like you're talking about, and then trying to process that in the grand scheme of things, you get all these complicated emotions. And so that's in the bigger picture what we're all kind of dealing with. And that's why I kind of said this is one large like group trauma that we're all going through, and everyone's experiencing it on different levels.
And just because wow. you don't necessarily, like everyone's trauma hits them differently. Maybe someone who is out of work, you know, I'm like, oh God, I'm working and you're out of work. So your trauma is worse than mine.
Yeah.
But they, for some reason, maybe they hated that job anyway. And they're like, you know what? This could lead me to a good path. So yeah, it sucks that I'm out of work, but you know, I still get to be around my family. Whereas maybe this person does. Like, I think we should stop trying to measure each other's trauma and see how they we're not trying to put together a bar graph
right
on how bad trauma is.
Wow.
Right?
No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah. And I think that's the tip for what Miguel was asking about is that, you know, you've got to be sensitive and you obviously don't want to share your trauma with someone who's got it worse. You know, that might be insensitive, but you know, definitely within yourself, you are definitely have permission to experience your own emotions and whatever you're going through as completely valid. And, you know, to process that whenever it makes sense, you, I don't want to say you shouldn't feel guilty, but you know, it's normal to feel guilty, but just realize that that's part of a bigger picture of what we're going through.
I love that. So Dr. Upshaw, you are, I want to say thank you for being a client and an advertiser on our station, because we're very transparent about it. And, you know, we are working with you and with Holly on our radio station. And right now, when a lot of media companies are struggling, we depend on people like you to help us get the word out about your product and what you do. So thank you for that. And with that being said, if someone is like, all of this is making sense, I'm really vibing with what Dr. Upshaw is saying, what is the service that your business provides?
Yeah, so specifically we do TMS, which is that treatment for depression for people who've tried medicines and they didn't work or had side effects. And you can just Google NeuroSpa TMS, you'll find us. But I would tell anyone who's suffering with mental health problems that are getting worse for them, one really great community resource is a website called psychologytoday.com. I don't know if either of you have heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Holly, I might have mentioned it to you.
Yeah.
But psychologytoday.com, every single therapist and psychiatrist in town is on that. It's a national website. You can just put in your zip code and what you're kind of looking for. And everyone has a profile, has their picture, a little bit of their philosophy, what insurances they take. So, you know, every therapist I know is still working from telehealth. Psychiatrists are still seeing patients. So I would just tell people who are experiencing serious problems, reach out to us at NeuroSpa. But if that doesn't work for you for whatever reason, that Psychology Today is a great website. And also everyone should be aware of there's a national crisis line, which is 1-800-273-TALK. You can also Google that, just crisis line. And, it's also called the suicide hotline, but you don't have to be suicidal. If you're in a crisis, they can help you as well. So I'm just trying to get the word out, you know, for people who may not know how to seek mental health treatment. Those are the ways to go about it.
Love that so much. Dr. Upshaw, thank you so much for the great advice. Mm-hmm. As we are literally, I want you to hear this if you're listening. You can hear that a therapist, a psychologist, Holly, Miguel, Scott, we're all going through this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you shouldn't feel shame for whatever feelings that you're feeling, because as you can tell, we're all going through it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're at different levels and we're just going through it together.
So thank you so much for helping us navigate it. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Great talking with you.
Awesome. All right. We'll talk with you soon.
All right. Take care.
Oh, he's so good.
He's really good.
Like the first appointment that I sat with him, I was just, I think I said this the last time we talked to him, but I was just like, tell me all the things. I'm in it. Let me know. I want to hear about it. Do you need someone part-time coming by the office? I will help out. Like, this is really, this is my thing.
Holly, do you see yourself after, you know, all this is over with and maybe your daughter is a couple of years older? Would you see yourself going to school to get another degree in psychology?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, but I don't really know what that looks like yet.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that picture to become a little clearer. And everything is kind of on pause right now because of this. And I feel like I shouldn't be using that as an excuse, but at the same time, like, how much can you handle at once?
Yeah, let's just try to float right now. Let's
right.
stay alive.
Keeping your head above water. Yeah. But I do want to look into the psychological field in some way, hopefully to help people and also just as my own thing that I enjoy.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I like find it fascinating. And it's once you dive, well, for me anyway, once you dive into it and you start to realize that there are precise reasons why people do what they do and how it all comes together, it's like putting a puzzle together.
Mm.
It's like everyone actually does have an instruction book.
Right.
You just have to find it.
Mm.
Ooh. Oh, it's so cool.
I love that because I feel like you've been looking for that thing and it's always been there and now it's just become more clear.
Yeah, it's clear as day. Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for you to sort of like go down that path because it's so complicated, the feelings that we feel. And it's like just, it's just so surprising to me how every day there's just like a new strong emotion ruling my life. Mm-hmm. And like usually as an adult, I've learned how to navigate my feelings. But like now I feel like I'm in middle school again and I'm just now discovering how to read what my emotions are actually telling me.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Right.
And like even yesterday, like I had to talk myself down because I was like, you're not doing enough. The show could be doing more. We could be doing more on social. We could be doing more on air. We need to be doing more. And I was like, bitch, shut up.
Yeah.
Your damn brain.
Yeah. That's the criticism voice.
Yes.
That's your criticism voice. And that's not you. That's, you know, the person who, like, you know how people, when people say, there's nothing you can say to me that's worse than what I would tell myself. Because
mm-hmm.
you're usually your own worst critic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the voice that gives you all that shit.
Right.
So you have to be like, whoa, 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 Debbie Downer. I got this, okay? Get in the back seat.
Scott, you were kind of quiet during that. Where are you feeling emotionally with everything?
I mean, I have my days. All the questions y'all are asking, all things going through my head, so I didn't really have anything to throw in there. It's very nice to just listen. But, I mean, I definitely have days where it's like, oh, up and down. And I think today was one of those days. Like, I woke up. Today was one of the first times, like, I woke up and I literally just didn't want to do today. And, I mean, there's other stuff, too. Like, I was, like, in arguments, like, with people the day before. But going into today was one of those days where I was like, I just don't know if I can. And I was like, I haven't felt that probably that serious ever.
Mm.
Where I was like, literally, like, F everything. Like, I just want to go back to bed and just, like, forget today. But, I mean, like, the one thing, and I was telling somebody yesterday, because the one thing I have consistently right now is working out. And I'm very thankful, like, what I work out with the CrossFit St. Pete, they do it virtually. And so I made sure, like, now I used to have a time. I used to do 3:30 in the afternoon. That was my consistent time every day. And so now I switch. It's now a 5:30 class, and, like, that's, like, my thing. Like, every day, like, even if I don't want to, that's the one thing I know is in my schedule, and I think that's the thing that's keeping me online with everything else in my life. Because if not, I'd probably go to bed and just, like, probably not wake up until, like, 11 p.m. and be like, oh, my God, what did I just do? Because I think that's just – I've had to accept things in my life now that are just way off my rocker where, like, you know, before this whole thing started, my daily life would be like, all right, let's grind. What am I going to do? What could I do to get better?
And it's grind time.
Exactly. But now I've really struggled, but I'm finally getting to a point where it's like looking myself in the mirror and realizing that it's like, you know what? You want to take a nap? Don't even turn on a damn alarm.
Mm.
You just hang out, dog, and it's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
sounds so good.
It's so nice now to like realize that I'm starting to become more comfortable with that because before, like, it would give me anxiety off the wall to realize, like, ooh, if I woke up and it was like an hour and a half or 2 hours, I'd be stressed out of my mind of like, you just missed time to do something. Like, you could have been doing something. And right now I've had to really realize it's like, there's nothing you could really do.
Right.
There's a couple things. Yeah, but honestly, what's more important? What makes you feel better right now? And I've had to prioritize those things. And even like small things I find funny in my day. Like yesterday, usually I'm pretty good about eating. Like, I'm pretty good about keeping myself like controlled on what I eat, what I put in my body. But, you know, now there's really no, like, I usually have in my mind what I look forward to
mm-hmm.
and the type of shape I want my body.
Absolutely.
And, like, especially this year, I was like, okay, I mm-hmm. got a bunch of events, you know, got competitions. I'm trying to get to another level. And right now, I mean, I'm not mad at how I look at all. But also, I give myself a little more leeway because even yesterday, I'm like, I have a piece of fudge. I was like, you know what? F it, I'm having another piece of fudge.
Hell
give me a glass
yes.
of wine.
Eat all the damn fudge, bitch.
But just allowing myself to just at least take a step back, not takes everything so seriously. It's like that's been helping me get through these crazy times and not being so hardcore on every other part of my life. And just like, all right, you know what? It's all right to just relax for a second and just do whatever you feel is best. And if that's a nap, that's a nap. If that's a piece of fudge, sweet. If that's reading all day, and now it's like my thing where I'm like, I don't want to do anything else, then that's what I got to do. So it's like a wave. Like I go definitely through days where I'm like, all right, let's bust some stuff out. And then probably today I'm like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to read.
Giving yourself a break, giving ourselves breaks, and just knowing that we're doing the best that we can. Because I feel like you can only work at that adrenaline level for so long of just go, 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 right. go with
well,
no end in
like
sight.
A payoff. And like right. that's what I realize, especially with like getting things done. It's like even like here at the job, it's like I'll grind and grind and grind and putting out work, and it would be rewarding because it would be like, oh, we have an event for you. Like that was like my milestone of like, all right, boom. Even like right now, I had a goal this year and I still could do it, but it's like to run a marathon this year. We don't even know if there's going to be any. So I'm like, well, that's really tough to train for if you don't know like there's an actual end goal. And I live my life based upon little tiny goals I could just cross off. And right now there's no clear line of like when I could cross anything off. So that's been tough.
It might be helpful though, because I think you were on a path to over regiment your life.
Yeah. And I think that too. I think, you know, and before all this happened, we probably said this on another podcast. I remember like being in the kitchen and like talking to Miguel and just being like, I'm just whooped. Like, I feel like my life was in a race car for like longer than I've ever been used to. And I was just feeling it where things weren't as enjoyable. So it's like, I was doing a ton of events going here and there. And it's like, obviously I've been so thankful for these opportunities, but I was wearing myself so thin mm-hmm. that it's like, you go to an event, you're kind of frustrated. You're like, you know what I would want to do right now? I want to sit in my bed and just want to do nothing. I want to read. I want to drink a glass of water and just do nothing. And so for me, like this has absolutely been, I think, the thing that I needed to just put a stop on everything, reevaluate, get everything in a prioritized line and be like, hey, when life finally gets back to normal, whatever that looks like, understand, you know, what you need to be your best self. Because I just started throwing as much stuff as I could and I was like, wait, I'm not happy right now. And that was getting to me at the very end, and then all this happened.
Yeah.
Wow. We're all going through it. It's just a time right now where you're just trying to figure out how to feel what you feel and how to like process it and work through it.
Yeah.
It's just such an interesting time, and I'm just so fascinated on what's going to be the outcome of all of this after the fact.
I really hope that it is what you alluded to earlier with Dr. Upshaw, where it is a collective change in the way society operates.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, whether or not people want to admit it, we were all sort of on the Scott Tavlin path.
Yeah.
I mean, where we're like, we need more stuff to do. We have to do this and that. And Americans have to work more. It doesn't mean that you're like happily working more necessarily. Yeah. It just means that there's this rat race of like who can stay at work the latest and who can do the most, you know, papers and who can. We were all not well.
Right.
And this is forcing us, like Scott, to reevaluate what the American way of life should look like.
Mm.
And I really hope that, and I mean, I'm part of a lot of hippy dippy groups on Facebook, but a lot of that, most of the hippy dippy groups I am in are all taking this as like, obviously nobody wants death and, you know, sickness, but aside from the virus itself, everyone in those groups is sort of taking this as like, this is nature correcting itself.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I mean, just in general, literal nature, where you can actually see in downtown LA, you know, you can see the mountains in India, all of those things, like nature is cleaning itself up. But then if you take it to the human level, it's like we're being forced to stop, reevaluate, and say, how do I want to live my life?
Mm-hmm.
We just get sucked into this loop when we graduate high school or college.
Oh.
And then it never ends until we retire. And then after that, you look back on your life and hopefully you fell into a career that you like. Hopefully you made the right choices and you know, got some personal satisfaction. But if you didn't, then you retire and you're like, what the hell do I do with the rest of my time here? What have you been doing with your time here?
I mean, but even then, like, I love what we do. This is what I've always wanted to do. But it's a business like anything else.
This is a job also.
It is. And so I found myself before everything happened where there'd be days where I'd be like, oh, God, like, let me just get through the show.
Yeah.
Let me just get through it because we have another meeting for this sort of initiative or this
thing
or this thing.
We're not coming to the table with enough ideas.
Right. We got to be at this event every Friday and Saturday and Sunday and this and this and this. And it's like, hold up. And I think maybe that's for me is going to be the big thing is that, like, I can't be everything to everyone all the time.
Amen.
That, like, I've got to just sit the fuck down sometimes and be like, if I'm not, and this is me telling me, like, this is not telling anybody specifically. Like, yesterday, 3 o'clock, I looked at my Insta story and I was like, oh my God, all I have is my, like, motivational post from the morning. I've put nothing else on my Instagram story. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, bitch, who's looking at your Instagram story being like, looks like he's not producing any content today. What a fucking failure.
Literally, and that's in the true sense of this word definition, literally no one.
Yeah.
Not one person looked at your, you know why? People don't look at it when there's nothing on it.
Right.
To know. And you're the only one that sees how many full stories there are because you never know where you catch your story. It could be the middle. It could be the end. I see what you put out and I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like you get off on, I have a full day of posts and I've completed my task.
Yes.
Your task for who?
Right.
Who's telling you to do that task?
Mm.
It's my secret because, like, I'll look at other radio people's stuff and I'll be like, all right, how are we doing compared to them? Are they pushing out a lot of stuff? And then, of course, it'll always be like a big syndicated show from like a New York or wherever and they've have a staff of like 25 people.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my God, look at their videos teasing what they're doing tomorrow on the show. And I have no clue what we're talking about tomorrow and it's 5 o'clock.
But are we helping our community?
Right.
So does our community care what Elvis Duran puts on his Instagram story that was produced by 17 and a half producers?
Him and his husband put on a live piano show last night.
How big, Whoopi, you put chicken.
I don't give any fucks. Exactly. I saw your green bean chicken thing like 3 times come across my feed, and I was like, damn it, I'm hungry. And actually, I made dinner myself last night, so screw all that.
Oh, what'd you make?
I got those at Publix, those little blue cheeseburger sliders.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. There's 6 of them. So I did those. And I'm like, Ma, you got to come eat downstairs because I'm not eating all these. So I did those. Yeah. And then I did my Brussels sprouts the way I do them. And I had some of that, the 7 Grains rice brand that takes 90 seconds in the microwave.
I love that efficiency.
It was so good. Anyway, I lost
the San Francisco treat.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't Rice-A-Roni.
No, it's like an organic.
Sorry, I just
7 grain rice blend.
San Francisco treat. Ding ding.
Yeah, no. but anyway, I say all that to say, like, we're helping people. I don't know. I don't mean to. Like, I want to talk about this, but I don't want to like put her on display. She absolutely did not want to do this for the recognition, and I don't know if she did this for y'all.
No, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
you don't probably have to say the name.
Maybe I won't in case she doesn't want to be recognized. Where is this? Last night at 7:47 p.m., I'm on my phone and I was like catching up with everything. And I got a Venmo notification and it said, Teresa, no last name, Teresa paid you $5. Said, grab yourself a coffee on me and my family. Thanks for keeping us all connected in this time of crisis. What?
Yeah. No. I was shocked when I saw it. I literally thought it was a mistake. I was like, Venmo? Messed up.
Venmo,
Mr. Venmo,
done,
what
you
are you doing?
Mess up. Like, I was floored. I took a screenshot of it, obviously, because that's where I pulled it from.
Yes.
To just be like, please remember this moment in time when the world went fucking crazy, but we helped one person enough that she should just put $5 in my Venmo account because of how much we're helping her.
Right.
What? Like, blown away.
Yeah.
So the next time you think that you didn't put enough content on your Insta story and that other radio people are doing it better, we don't know anything about them and it doesn't matter because we're not in a race with them.
True.
It's like with Dr. Upshaw. You're not in a race to see whose trauma was worse.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you know, if you broke a nail, you probably shouldn't talk to someone who had someone die of COVID-19, but...
That's probably a little...
Yeah, that's just
You gotta read the room.
Read the room. Yeah. But, I mean, traumas are traumas, and you cannot help how you feel about something.
So true.
So, just know, based on Teresa, I don't say this because I necessarily came up with it, but based on Teresa's deposit of $5 in our Venmo accounts, I would say we're doing okay.
Thank you, Teresa.
Yeah.
I got it too. I saw it this morning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God. I even sent a screenshot to our boss.
Oh,
I was like
did
crying.
You?
I was like, oh, this is so nice.
You know, I like did it. And then I started going through, and maybe, I don't know if this is self-serving or what this is. It's almost like I want to do it for posterity. I started going through and making a list of all the things that people have given to us/me just since the start of this. So right. Obviously Teresa and her $5 made the list. What was her name? Jamie Lee? Jen Lee? She gave us like stone bracelets.
Oh yeah, I got my moon bracelet on.
I got mine on.
It's like they're powered up by the moon. I got mine on today too.
Yeah.
She sent those to us and she gave my little girl a little jar of crystals, which Maya has loved. She's like, this is my special jar. I'm like, yeah, girl, you got it.
Oh, yes.
You know, we've had someone is dropping off a jar of local organic honey to the studio. And it's like, and I'm trying to do the same. Like, I bought that intention candle from, like, a one-woman business shop, you know. I bought a print from producer Ryan. And it's like, this type of thing has not happened.
No.
For me. I can't remember a time.
Right.
Maybe when I was, like, going through my divorce, I got a lot of love from the community. But, like, it's like we're all, even though we're separate, we're all somehow learning how to connect.
Like we see at the end of all those promos you hear on Hot 101.5. We're all in this together. Platypus, thank you.
Yes.
For all the platypus listeners out there.
Someone sent us a little platypus.
They did. I really want to get some platypus shirts made for the Miguel and Holly podcast fam. Mm. We need to get those made after all this is over with.
Yes.
All right, Holly, what's all your social media?
Radio Holly on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and then Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott? At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin. Wow, that was a lot. Whoa.
You're tired.
On Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok. Make sure to listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored, the Corncast, like you are now, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, the Hot 101.5 app, and anywhere where you can listen to a podcast. And just make sure to subscribe to it, give us a rating, and give us a little review. Until tomorrow.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition, from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.